Tonight, the Gullah Geechee Nation, a coastal community rich in culture and history.
You are talking about the blood, the sweat, and the tears of my ancestors being in here.
Now threatened by troubles from the sea and here on land.
What's the bigger threat to this community now? Gentrification, development, or climate change?
I would say all of the above.
Inside their fight for survival.
Even though the ocean may be coming, we'd have been here and we're in the guano.
What can save this sacred American land from being lost forever?
If nothing is done, I'm afraid a community like this may not really exist 80 years from now.
This special edition of Nightline, Keepers of the Land. Here now, Byron Pitts.
Away in the water, sure run away in the water.
Amidst the warm breeze of the Carolina coast,
if you don't,
where suffering was once the burden of birth, rose a regal people. They are the Gullah Geechee.
Death falling me down,
and for them,
the Jordan Stream.
This land is sacred.
Death falling me down,
the sweetness is that I still can come here. And I can actually point to where my ancestors flowed through these waters.
To say that we would be the same without the land is not understanding who Gullah Geechee people are.
It's well documented around the world, a climate crisis threatens people from all walks of life. Global warming, rising oceans, massive storms, stripping away land like never before. But here at home, down south along the buckle of the Bible Belt, little attention has been focused on the risks. Until now.
We have broken records for the last 8-year cycle, record flooding cycles without rain. How much more evidence do people need to say something is going on?
Even though the ocean may be coming, we'd have been here and we're in the guano.
Tonight, we're on one of the front lines of climate change with the people who farmed on, bled for, and loved these lands for centuries. The Gullah Geechee Nation. Theirs is a dual battle. Preserve their past, protect their future.
We're people of the sea, so we will rise and we will remain.
There's a precise method to growing okra here. Part science, part art. The ingredients are timeless. Add water, sun, sweat and patience by the spoonful. In faith, lathered on like butter.
So what are you growing over here?
Rice.
Joseph Fields' family have been farming this land for over a century.
Your grandparents were farmers?
My grandparents were farmers.
Your parents were farmers?
My parents were farmers.
And now you're a farmer?
Now I'm a farmer. Now my grandson, he wants to take over the farmer. I'm the third generation, and he'll be the fourth generation.
All organic, close to nature, close to his heart.
You're a Gullah, yes?
I'm a Gullah.
What's special about this place?
What's special about this place? Because we love it, and we by the water. Everybody over here is brothers and sisters, and everybody enjoying the free life, free outdoor life.
A free life forged on a graveyard of oppression. These strawberry fields dug where slave houses once stood. It's here where the Gullah Geechee people can trace their history. They're the descendants of West African slaves. The hot summers brought mosquitoes and malaria, keeping the slave owners inland in this community free to live amongst themselves, maintaining their language, their culture, undisturbed. This coastal community is designated by Congress as a cultural heritage corridor.
Hey, that's Charleston Cayenne, smoking.
From Jacksonville, North Carolina to Jacksonville, Florida. Here, hello can quickly lead to a mouth-watering meal.
You guys need barbecue sauces over here.
Pork, shrimp, okra, and the core of every Gullah meal.
May I have some of each, bro?
Yes, sir.
Rice.
In North Carolina, tobacco was king. In Alabama, cotton was king. In Charleston, South Carolina,
rice was king, hence the rice kingdom.
What makes this place special also makes it vulnerable. A life on the sea, in a world where ocean rise and warming temperatures have become a generational challenge.
It's hot early, and then the strawberry goes away, the green onions and the collards. It takes more water to keep them going, because being at 90 to 100 degrees is too hot.
And you've seen it get gradually worse in your lifetime?
Oh yeah, it gets gradually worse.
Huh.
It's a problem marine scientist and proud Gullah Geechee Albert George has dedicated his career to understanding.
What did this area look like 10 years ago? What might it look like 10 years from now based on climate change?
What a reality is it's a lot of change that's going to occur.
You seem sad.
It's sad because it's a reality that a lot of people don't deal with. It's going to have a disproportionate impact on those people who don't have the resources to mitigate the risk. If nothing is done, I'm afraid a community like this may not really exist 80 years from now.
The threats of sea level rise and flooding made worse by decade-long development projects across the coastal region. It's a trifecta of troubles, decimating habitats, disrupting natural drainage systems, and eroding an already delicate coastline.
What's a bigger threat to this community now, gentrification, development, or climate change?
I would say all of the above. Because you don't have one without the other, right? In the instance of this community, we're currently in a 10-mile community. A community that, even without any development, was dealing with persistent issues around flooding, risk mitigation around sort of flood inundation. But then if you couple that to high-density development, being able to then come into this community, you just took a situation that was bad, you put it on steroids.
We are just arriving in St. Helena Island, home to the largest Gullah Geechee community in the country. We're about to meet the Queen. 2 hours south of Charleston, St. Helena Island is in many ways the beating heart of Gullah Geechee Nation, and Queen Kwet, its soul. Born Marquetta Goodwine, the elected leader of the Gullah Geechee people, an Ivy League educated author and mathematician who travels the country and the world, sounding the alarm on climate change's impact on the Gullah way of life.
I get the sense from people I've talked to that when you talk about climate change in the U.S.,
yeah,
that the Gullah Geechee community is ground zero.
Oh, absolutely. I always tell people we are the front shoreline of climate change. That's how I see it. Yeah. And the sad thing about it is the other people who are now paying attention to it wouldn't listen when we were talking at first.
So Gullah Geechee people aren't just people, they're people and land. You can't have one without the other.
Exactly. I always say to people, Gullah Geechee culture is inextricably tied to the land that we to the land. And the water bring we, the water gonna take we back. So the water that we bloodline. So if you poison the water, you poison the culture. You poison the culture, there's no cultural heritage called Gullah Geechee. So I still farm this.
Here at her ancestral home, a 10-acre family compound where she lives with 45 relatives, pride is a palpable fragrance that fills the air.
And this was your great-grandfather?
My great-great-grandfather.
Great-great-grandfather.
Yes.
He was a slave at the time.
So he had been enslaved.
I am struck by how casually you said, my great-great-grandfather bought this in 1862, and we still have it.
Yeah. And on both sides of my family, I can say that. It's a blessing. I know it's not a common story. Somebody else in the media said to me one day, I took them to a burial area, because again, our burial areas are threatened by sea level rise and destruction, people coming in trying to build on them. And I took them in there and they said, well, tell me who's in here. And I said, oh, this is my great-great-granddaddy, and that would have been my daddy's daddy, da-da-da, and this is the granduncle, and that's his brother. And I think a lot of Gullah Geechees, a lot of us can do that, and we take it for granted, and that's the unfortunate thing.
But holding onto this land is a never-ending struggle. Queen Kwet says developers offer to buy her family land from her every week.
You are talking about the blood, the sweat, and the tears of my ancestors being in here. When I sweat, my sweat drops on top of their sweat that was already there. So if you say to me, you want to buy my land, you're asking me to sell you my family. Mm. So you're telling me put my family back on the auction block after all it took to break down the auction blocks? That is offensive, to say the least.
I hear a hell no in that sentence.
You got it. There's no consideration. There's no price tag. There's nothing you could give me to say, sell you my land. That's insanity.
I came here in search of a story and found a sermon.
There we go. Amen. Hallelujah.
And here the scripture is science, measurable evidence. Climate change is threatening to do what slavery and Jim Crow could not.
We had too many 100 plus degree days. So heat island effect has now hit the sea islands. And that has threatened our food security.
And that's climate change.
And that's climate change.
When we come back,
is there a simple villain here?
No, there's not a simple villain, but there are multiplicity of villains.
A search for answers.
I don't want to be the mayor that says we got to head for the hills.
What can save Gullah Geechee Nation from the coming ocean?
Sometimes you can cut off your nose to spite your face, and that's what we're doing in a lot of ways if we're not careful.
Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Sullivan's Island, a wealthy tourist town not far from Charleston, South Carolina. For many reasons, for African Americans, this is our Ellis Island. It's estimated that 40 to 50% of enslaved Africans brought to this country first touched U.S. soil here. If you've ever heard the old saying, make a way out of no way, folk here believe that mantra was born on these beaches. And it's with that spirit that many in the Gullah Geechee Nation believe they can help with climate change. Provide solutions to the problem.
This is a sign that you see an intrusion of salt water or brackish water that is allowing this vegetation to be here.
And by often when we think about climate crisis, the effects are obvious. Massive storms, melting glaciers, flooded communities. But more often, the clues of climate change's corrosive effects are invisible to the untrained eye. Telltale signs of flooding, like this vegetation, normally found around the ocean, growing all the way across a man-made bypass.
This is one of those canary in the coal mine kind of things.
You better believe it.
Yeah, that this should be over there.
Correct.
And the fact that it's over here is not a good sign.
Is a sign, I would say that is a sign that it's a shifting balance that's currently in play in this community.
Scientists like Albert George believe some of the solutions to climate change are hiding in plain sight, if only humans would allow nature to be nature.
A big part of how you can mitigate flood risk is through nature, what we call nature-based solutions.
Mother Nature's built-in defense system. This very marsh we're standing on, if allowed to thrive naturally, acts as a buffer, absorbing water from hurricanes and flooding.
If we can literally figure out ways to keep this marsh healthy, to keep this marsh whole, not only are we protecting one of the most dynamic biomes in the world, but by doing so, who lives behind the marsh? Who lives behind the sand dune? People.
We are taking every effort from a policy point of view, from an infrastructure point of view, from a citizen engagement point of view, to protect this city against climate change and sea level rise. It's our destiny.
Charleston Mayor John Tecklenburg, a blue leader in a deep red state, campaigned on the promise of protecting his city from climate disaster.
Yeah, I was struck by looking over your State of the City address. Of the four top issues you see, climate change is one of those four.
Absolutely. Well, as I say, we're at the forefront of it. And I view it as an existential threat to this city.
A tall order for one of the most popular destinations in the country. The Charleston region alone is growing three times faster than the U.S. average. That growth means more tourism, more buildings, more roads, more homes. A strain on a delicate landscape already plagued by climate change's wrath.
For years, we built in the wrong places, and it caused flooding problems. And so we've revised our stormwater manual so that when you build something in the city of Charleston, you're not only thinking about the drainage from your property and your surrounding properties, but in fact, everything in the drainage basin, everything downstream from you till it gets to the ocean.
A plan in place including protecting marshes and wetlands, buying up properties and converting them to natural habitats, and working with the Army Corps of Engineers to erect a massive seawall meant to protect parts of Charleston. But some within the Gullah Geechee community feel they've heard this story before.
If this wall is around one part of the peninsula of Charleston, what about the other side? Water finds its own level. So the concern is, if you wall up and protect the hotels and you protect those mansions, what's going to happen to we?
So part of the history of Charleston is, whether real or imagined, historically, that when money was spent to improve something, white folk got it first and black folk got it last. Today, talking about building a seawall that, as it appears, protects white communities and doesn't necessarily protect some black communities, it sounds like, uh-oh, here we go again.
Well, the wall will be 8 miles long. Will protect directly the east side of Charleston, historic African American neighborhood.
As you deal with this issue of climate change, how do you make that right, fix that for the community that we're looking at, in particular the Gullah Geechee community?
Well, we do it a drainage basin at a time, figuring out where the water goes, addressing those areas that flood the most frequently and try to address them first, but also look at the long range protection of our entire city, not just from storm events, but from sea level rise.
Across Gullah Geechee Nation, they're not waiting for anyone to save them. Like the developers, they're investing in themselves, working with EPA and landscape architects to tackle the problem head on.
We protect the coastline in a way that helps all of our health. We want to educate people more about what you call a living shoreline. You have those types of vegetation that actually absorb water, but also cleanse the water at the same time. I participated in several oyster reef rebuilds here so that we can make sure that the oysters are here to cleanse the water out and increase the water quality and sustain it. God has not given us a spirit of fear. My spirit says that if people would do right, we can reverse this.
For the Gullah Geechee of America's southern lowcountry, fending off climate change is a lot like farming. A little science, a little art, and a bushel of faith. For four centuries, it worked for their ancestors. Now, in the face of the coming storm, come hell or high water, they will remain.
People bet against it happening, and here we are. We still right you, you see? And so I always say to people, like, when I come to the water, I start hearing a song. Now, I bet you know, church boy. I bet you know this one. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. God, why trouble the water?
That's Nightline for this evening. You can always catch our full episodes on Hulu. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.